All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Zion. We are picking off on daf Vav Amud Beis 6b, literally three lines up from the bottom. Hechi Domi Gemardin. So we'll say we dedicate our learning in the Zuchus of the Neshama of Eliezer ben Klonimos. We also, unfortunately, again, the terrible news out of Eretz Yisrael this past Shabbos with the terror attack in the community of Chalamishin of Eitz Suf that claimed the lives of a father and his two children. So we dedicate our learning in the Zuchus of Aliyah for the Neshama of Yosef Solomon together with his children Elad and Chayo, whose Levayas are taking place today in Modi'in. We hope that the Neshama is having Aliyah, the family is having Chama, and Halavaya Kodesh Baruch Hu should allow this Chodesh of Av to not just be another month of tzar and sorrows for Klal Yisrael, but in Eretz Hashem to truly be a menachi av for us as individuals and for us as a people. All right, so remember again, we're discussing the topic of pshara. So again, specifically again, we're discussing the interface between din and pshara in terms of which is the better approach. Should one go ultimately again for din, for strict justice? Should one try to go for compromise? We saw machlokes. One thing is clear, which is according to everyone, once a Beis Din has reached a Gemar Din, once a Beis Din has reached a verdict, at that point in time, it is usur to then revert back to Pshar. In other words, even if you say that Pshar is a good thing, Pshar is a good thing at the outset of the process. But once a Beis Din has already reached a conclusion, they can't then go back and revert to Pshar. So the Gemara says the following, say, Hechi Dami Gemar Din. If that's the case, so what is Gemar Din? In other words, at what point in time do we say that a verdict has been reached? So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Marav, Ish Ploni Ata Chayev, Ish Ploni Ata Zakai. Literally, again, Gemar Din means when a verdict has been rendered. So-and-so, you're innocent. So-and-so, you are guilty. So we'll say Rav said that the halacha of Rav Shmuel ben Karcha. Remember again, what did Rav Shmuel ben Karcha say? Rav Shmuel ben Karcha said mitzvah liftsoa, that there is a mitzvah ultimately again to reach compromise. Mitzvah to reach compromise. So better to go ahead and accept pshara than it is to go ahead and accept din. So it comes along Rav, and Rav says the halacha of Rav Shmuel ben Karcha. Ini, is that so? Va'amar Rav Huna talmidi d'Rav Hava. Beit Rav Huna, who was a talmid of Rav, used to say, "Kiva asula kane de Rav Huna." When litigants would come before Rav Huna, "Amr lehu, iduna ba isu, ipshara ba isu." Would you like me to adjudicate this case as din, or would you like me to do pshara? So we'll say, here you have Rav saying that halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, that says it's a mitzvah to effect compromise. Yet, Rav Huna, who was a talmid of Rav, when litigants would come before him, he would ask the litigants, do you want din, or do you want pshara? But if indeed the halacha followed, bless you, if indeed the halacha followed Rav, it means that Rav Huna, his talmid, should only offer pshara, not din. To which the Gemara says, my mitzvah nami to come Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. What does it mean when Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha said that it's a mitzvah to go ahead and do pshara? Top of Zayin, the Bosai. Mitzvah lemeimra lehu, idina ba'isu, ipshara ba'isu. What Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha meant was that it's a mitzvah to what? To offer the litigants the option. The mitzvah is to put forward before the litigants their options. Do you want din or do you want pshara? And then it's up to the litigants ultimately to determine or to decide what they want. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Hainu Tanakamo. The Rabbi Shulman Karcha saying the same thing as the Tanakamo. Ike beinayhu mitzvah. The Rabbi said, nafkamina between them is a mitzvah. According to the Tanakamo, although the litigants have the right to choose, do they want din or do they want pshara, there is no mitzvah upon the judge to put forward those options. According to Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha, there is a mitzvah upon the judge. When the litigants come before the judge is supposed to say to them, do you want pshara or do you want din? The judges, the nafkamina between Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha, it's according to Tanakama, the litigants have the right to ask for pshara. According to Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha, the judge has an obligation to offer to proactively offer the option of pshara. So the Gemara says the following: Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha savar mitzvah, Tanakama savar rishus. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha says that it is a mitzvah for the dayan to offer the option of pshara, whereas the Tanakama holds that it is a rishus. In other words, the dayan need not offer this option, but the litigants have the option to go ahead and choose it for themselves. Ay, haynu Rabbi Shimon Menasio. Then is it not the same thing as the shita Rabbi Shimon Menasio? Ika benayim, here's the nafkamina. Misha tishma divrayen va'ate yodeh leheichon hadin nota. I ata rashay lomer lahen tzu'u ubitzu. What's this? The nafkamina Dino will then be in a case where the Dayan already heard the different sides, and he knows ultimately again which direction the judgment leans in. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the second wide line from the top. According to the Tanna Kamma, even if the judge heard the respective arguments, and even in his mind he knows that the din, the judgment, slants towards one of the sides, as long as a final verdict has not been delivered, pshara is still on the table. The Rav Shimon Menasya, Misha Tishma Estevrayim, V'yadata Lehecha Nota, Af Agav Lo Nigmar In Rashay Litzoa. What's the Rav Shimon Menasya? Once the judge hears the different arguments, and in his mind, the judgment leans towards one side, at that point in time, pshara is no longer an option. Upligid Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi, and this argues Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi. So, we'll say, just so you know, this machlokes, we're going to resolve it in Yeretz Hashem tomorrow. But this is a fundamental machlokes, a machlokes in the very essence of the Jewish legal system. Do we advocate for din? Do we advocate for pshara? That's a machlokes. And then the sub machlokes is, even if you say that pshara is a good thing, up until what point in time? Or I should say, until when is pshar an option? In other words, how far along in the din process must one go before pshar is no longer on the table? So we're going to resolve both of those issues. The Gemara now says, this drasha that we said before of, remember yesterday the Gemara quoted the pasuk of, Botzea Beirach Nietz Hashem. This is Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer, when he said that pshara is a bad thing, but rather again one should advocate for din. So Rebbe Lozer quoted a pasuk. The pasuk that he quoted was Botzea Beirach Nietz Hashem. He who blesses the one who advocates for compromise is a blasphemer. So Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi has a different drasha. He says Lo Ne'amar Mikra Zeh Ela Keneged Maase Egel. This pasuk about Tzeh Beirach Nietz Hashem was actually said corresponding to the eagle, to the sin of the golden calf. This is actually amazing. Shneemar, Vayar Aaron, Vayiven Mizbeach Lefanov. So we'll say, so what happened? So the pasuk says that Aaron saw, and he built a Mizbeach. He built an altar. Mara, what did Aaron see that caused him to build an altar that ultimately would be used for the eagle? Amra bin Yoram bar Yefes, Amra Belazar, Ra'a Chur Shezavuach Lefanov. Aaron saw that Chur, his nephew, had already been killed by the Jewish people, because Chur tried to stand up against Klal Yisrael, against building the golden calf, and he saw that Chur was murdered. Amar, Ilo Shamanaluhu Hashta, Avdu Likid Avdu Bechor. So Aaron said, listen, if I don't go along with their plans for an ego, they're going to kill me the same way they killed Chor. Now we'll say, now what's the chap? Now Aaron says, Umekayim bi im yarob b'mikdash Hashem kohen v'navi v'lo havya lohu takanto li'olam. Aaron was nervous that if they would kill the kohen gadol, if they would kill Aaron, that would be an act for which there would be no tshuva. And I will say, so therefore again, Aaron felt, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, v'lo havya lohu takanto, dasofan la'asos kem b'zecharya ben yoyod v'yizcharya b'ayis al-kach. So remember again, this is actually, the Gemara brings down that when Nebuzaradan came into the Beis HaMikdash, remember again, he saw the blood bubbling on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and he said, my hi, what's this? And remember again, that was the blood of Zechariah the Navi, who was killed by Klal Yisrael. Killing the Navi, killing the Kohen Gadol, has no takana, has no tshuva. So therefore again, Aaron says, here's the problem. If I stand up to them, they're going to kill me. Now Aaron doesn't have a problem with giving his life. What Aaron has a problem with is what? And enabling Klal Yisrael to do something for which there will be no tshuva. For the act of Avodah Zarah, there'll be tshuva. For the act of killing the Kohen Gadol within the confines, right, by Har Sinai, for that there will be no tshuva. For the Havilu Takanta Lo Lemutav, Dilei Avdu Ego, Efshar Havilu Takanta B'tshuva. So I said, this is amazing. Aaron himself makes the decision. He makes the compromise, right? And the compromise is, better for Klal Yisrael to go ahead and worship Avodah Zarah, for which they can do tshuva, than to kill me, the Kohen Gadol, for which there is no tshuva. So amazingly enough, Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi says, this is Botzea Beirach Ni Eitz Hashem. that I don't try to make a compromise, but his compromise, in fact, was blasphemy. In other words, his compromise was wrong. Aaron has good machshavas, but ultimately, again, the machshava was incorrect. He made a mistake by not standing up to Klal Yisrael. He should have stood up to them, say, Loz v'aderech, this is not what we do. If they kill him, they kill him. But you have to stand up for what's right. Which I will say, you know, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh points out that if you look at the end of the Maaseh HaEgel, at the end of the story, the Torah calls the eagle as ha'egel asher asa Aaron, the eagle that Aaron made. So Rechaim HaKadosh says, why does Torah have to say that? We know that Aaron made it. We read the story. Why do you have to say it? Rechaim says, it's the shtach. Meaning, it's the Torah's way of saying, Aaron, you were wrong. You were wrong. I understand you made a compromise. I understand you had a cheshbon, but you were wrong. You should have stood up, should have stood your ground, should have drawn your line on the sand, and not have allowed this to occur. So the Gemara goes, V'hani tanoi, poter mayim reishis madon may darshibay. So these tanoi, who reject the earlier drasha of poter mayim, what do they do with this pasuk? So I recorded this pasuk from Mishlei yesterday. Poter mayim reishis madon. Literally, again, the opening of the waters is the beginning of judgment. May darshibay. So if you don't darshin it, as we darshin it in yesterday's daf, so what do you do with it? First wide line of Bosa and Zayna Mudalev. Kidrav Hamnuna. They dashed into the currency of Hamnuna. What is Hamnuna? They say, Amrav Hamnuna. Ein tchilas dino shel adam nidon, ela al divrei Torah. It was a very dramatic Gemara. That after 120, when a person is judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing he's judged for is Bittel Torah. Rashi says, al divrei Torah, shelo asak ba Torah. The first matter of judgment that we have to face after 120 is, did we learn enough Torah? So the Gemara says, Shina Emar, Poter Mayim, Reishis Madon. So it says the idea over here is, Poter Mayim, meaning Mayim, Rashi points out, is a reference to Torah. Torah is often compared to Mayim. So one who exempted himself, Poter Mayim, one who exempted himself from learning, Reishis Madon. This is the first matter about which a person is judged after 120. Amar Rav Huna, Hai Tigra, Damya Litzinura de Bidka de Maya. Another drasha. Rav Huna says, I was saying that Machlokes is like an overflowing river that begins to create its own channels of water. Kevan de Ravach, Ravach. So we'll say, you know, if the stream overruns its banks, so the water begins to cultivate its own streams. If you don't stop that right there, then what happens? Then the streams continue to flow at a certain point in time. You can no longer dam it off. Same idea with Machlokes. When Machlokes begins, I will say, if you don't nip it in the bud, it takes on a life of its own. Kevan de Ravach, Ravach. Abayi Kashisha, the elder used to say, Dami laguda de gamla, kevan de kam kam. Listen, this is amazing. He says that machlokes is like guda de gamla. If you look at Rashi says guda de gamla, dapin shal gesher, like the planks of a bridge. Betchila keshadaras nalei menanos, v'sof mischazos v'nikvaos bimkomon. V'achinami kesha adam marbe bekitata, mischazakes ubav lo mikravos. So let's listen to how beautiful this is. Well, not so beautiful, but incredibly profound. Machlokes is like a footbridge. What happens when you go on a footbridge? When the bridge is new, so the planks move about. However, after enough time of walking on the bridge, the planks settle in place. So machlokes, I will say, the Gemara says, is the same idea. That when machlokes begins, you have an opportunity to stop it. While it's still a bit shaky and not embedded in place, you could stop it. However, once again it's become established enough, then it's set in place and you can no longer uproot it. So we'll say an incredible yisod just in the dynamic of machlokes. If you encounter machlokes in life, you can't... People sometimes think that machlokes will fix itself. Machlokes never fixes itself. If you want to be proactive and fix it, then be proactive and fix it. But understand that if you let it be, only one thing happens, which is it becomes more embedded in place. Incredible yisod. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hahu davaka amar va'azil. Most of the Gemara gives a couple of different examples of people who used to have different kinds of sayings. Tovia or Tovia dishama va'adish. Chalfuha bishta mea. Praiseworthy is the person, I will say, who hears his own degradation and doesn't say anything. He saves himself from 100 bad things. If you look at Rashi says, Tovia dishama va'adish. Ashrav Sheshomeach Erpasav Shosek Umar Bilkach. We'll say praiseworthy is a person who hears his own degradation, never says anything. Chavu B'shisei Mea Holchulam B'shtikas Lamea Raos Shabbos Adidah Teger. So we'll say the idea is that when you hear your own degradation and you don't respond, that's a kapara. That takes the place of 100 punishments. I'm really Shmuel the Rav Yehuda. Krok Siv. There's a pasuk that supports this idea. Poter Mayim Reishis Madon. So the Gemara says Madon Reish Mea Dini. Reish Mea Dini. So Madon Poter Mayim. Poter Mayim. He looks at Rashi. He says Poter Mayim. Hamaschil Uposeach Biktata. Who tchilas me'adini? The Rebbe will say ultimately again, poter mayim. He who opens up machlokes madon is like me'adini. Ultimately, has 100 judges. Now, I will say, I want to say something about this. Meaning, this doesn't mean that a person is supposed to be a shmata. A person is supposed to be a welcome mat. I will say there are times where simply, again, you don't have to respond. You know, some people have to respond to everything, which is a very bad midah. In life, there are many things you just have to let it roll off you, right? And again, if you let it roll off and you don't respond, you could save yourself from an incredible amount of heartache. Hahu dava ka'amar va'azil. There was another person who used to walk around saying, "Atarti tlas ganva lo miktil." A thief often will not be killed for two or three thefts, which is another way of saying that you can get away with some things in life. Right, for two or three thefts, the thief might get away with it. But ultimately, what? The thief is caught as a result of his negative behaviors. Amar li Shmuel the Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel says, Rav Yehuda, we have a pasuk that supports this. Kroksiv, there's a pasuk that supports this. So the Gemara says, Ko Amar Hashem, al shlosha pishe Yisrael, va'al arba lo ashivenu. For three sins, I'll let them go. But on the fourth one, I will have to go ahead and exact retribution. So the idea is, you can get away with some things in life, but at the end of the day, Lamaisa, there's going to be divine retribution for everything we do. The Gemara goes weiter. Hahuda ava amar ka amar va'azil, shav biri l'shalmana, v'chadi la'avid bisha. There can be six pits for the tzaddikim, seven pits for the tzaddikim, and they're able to escape them, or able to crawl out of them all, but one pit derails the wicked one. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shev biri l'shamana, sheva boros keruos l'ragle ishalom umikula minatzel. Seven pits are dug for the complete person, and he is saved from all of them, but the wicked falls into it. In other words, we'll say, what does this mean? That the righteous person is able to rebound from multiple situations. The pit represents the pitfalls in life. The righteous is able sometimes he could avoid the pits, but even when he falls into the pits, he's able to go ahead and rebound. He's able to go and pick himself back up. Masha Inkein, the Rasha, when he falls into the pit, often is unable to go ahead and extricate himself. Armel Shmuel ben Avi, who the crux of the passage that supports this, Kisheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam, Verasha Yipol Ba'achos. The tzaddik could fall down seven times, but he still gets back up. But the rasha ultimately, again, only falls once. It was an incredible yisod. That sometimes the true measure of personal piety is not necessarily the ability to avoid the failure. It's the ability to rebound. Everyone fails. What makes the tzaddik, is that no matter how many times he fails, he always gets back up. Masha'in came to Russia. As soon as he fails, he's leveled. He simply cannot rebound. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Hahu dava ka'amar va'azil, the azul mi beidina shakel glime lizmar, lizmar zemer v'lezel ba'aracha." So I said there was a man who used to say that when coming out of Beis Din, even if Beis Din took your cloak, in other words, you were found guilty, and Beis Din took your cloak, make sure to sing a song. Which also has another way of saying that what? Accept the judgment of Beis Din b'simcha. Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv, v'gam kol ha'am hazeh al mekamo, yavo b'shalom. Right, the entire nation, ultimately, again, when leaving the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu, would come to their place, ultimately, in peace. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ha'huda hava ka'amar va'azil, hi naima v'dikula shafil. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, another person who used to say, when she sleeps, the basket is lowered. Which I will say, if you look at Rashi says over here, when the woman dozes, hasal sha'aro shashi no senes bo pilcho mulacha yadea bo shata kolomar mitok shiat seila in malach denikars v'kula mashalosin. When the woman sleeps, the basket is on, which is another way of saying, when people are lazy, so productivity is lower. Right? The basket lowered, meaning productivity is lower. So the Amar Lishmon Rabbi Yehuda Kroksiv, we have a pasuk that supports this, bat saltayim yima chamikra. Literally, again, when people are lazy, the ceiling sags. Okay, so we'll say, so it's a profound yet pashat idea. If you're lazy, don't expect great things. Right? If you're lazy and you don't put in the effort, then don't expect the results. We'll say, what's amazing about this is, the Gemara is pointing, these were just like colloquial things. These are just colloquialisms. These are things that people said. The Gemara is pointing the fact that you had psukim that backed up these ideas. Hahu dahava kamar va'azil. Gavra dirachitzna alei. Adja ligazize v'kam. So we'll say, there was a person who used to have a saying, the man in whom I trusted, Adje ligazize v'kam. Literally, he raised his fist and stood up against me. So we'll say this sounds to Amar Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Kroksiv, there's a pasuk that supports this. Gam ish shlomi ha-shavatachti bo. Even the man, ultimately again, who I thought I had peace with, even that man rose up against me. Pasuk from Tilim. We'll say, what's the message over there? The message over there is, well, twofold. Number one, be careful who you trust. Be careful who you trust. And also another piece, which is, if there's one thing that's a guarantee in all human relationships, is that those who you love and those who you trust will fail you. Now, I know I will say, it sounds like a big downer, right? But it's an incredibly important yisod, because sometimes people, you have to understand, people are frail. People are frail. And therefore, again, even people who love you very much at some point in time simply will not come through. And sometimes it's not even because they don't love you. It's not because they don't care. It's just because people are human beings. So you have to live life with an expectation that people fail. You know, sometimes people, when someone who they care about or they love fails them, they like throws them for such a tailspin they can't recover. If you expect failure as a part of the dynamic of human relationships, then when it happens, you understand it, you're able to expect it, and you're able to rebound from it. Incredible yisod. But say, this is an amazing Gemara. Baruchat Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nieh B'Dvaro. Listen to this. Hahu, this is amazing. Hahu, Dav Kamra Va'azil. There was a particular man who used to say, he was talking about his marriage. Kirichamtsin hava aziza afusya de safsira shechivan. It was like, now rechimtsin means literally, when my wife and I were passionately in love, we were able to sleep together on the edge of a sword. Hashta delo aziza rechimtan, now that the passion has died down a little bit, Purya bashisin garmidi lo sagilan. Even a bed that is shisin garmidin is not big enough for us. So what does this mean? Incredible yisod. What he's saying is, when our marriage was passionate, we were able to sleep together next to each other on a very small area. Now that the passion has died down, there's no bed that's big enough for the two of us. It's an incredible, incredible yisod, right? About how, just as an aside, about how important it is to keep passion in a marriage, and how important it is that in a marriage, again, that same eslavos and that same excitement and the same passion that often exists in the beginning of a marriage, a couple always has to try to figure out how to keep that with them throughout. Rav Huna Kreiksev. So Rav Huna says, again, it's not just true with a passion in a marriage, but true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Rav Huna say, Kreiksev, may Karak, don't use that for Sheva Brachas, by the way. You tuck it under your belt. You use it for yourself. It's not, so the Gemara goes right there. In the beginning of the pasuk says, "When Arati luchas sham v'dibarti etchamei ala kapores." In the beginning of our relationship, Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam says that I became known to you from there, and I spoke to you from on the kapores. On the kapores is the lid of the aron. V'tanya, and they both say when it came to the lid of the aron, pasuk Raisa says, "Aron tisha v'kapores tefach." The height of the aron was 9 tefachim. The kapores, the lid itself, was 1 tefach. Harikana sara. So we'll say, so the shechina was within 10 tefachim of us, a very small amount. We were in close proximity to the shechina. Uksiv v'abayis ha'shabana melashlamo shishim amarko. Ve'esrim arachbo u'shloshim amakam also. Shlomo HaMelech then builds a larger Beis HaMikdash. U'lebasov k'siv ko amar Hashem Hashemayim kisi va'aretz radom ragli. He's a bias at Sheretiv Nuli. So we'll say, see the progression. We go ultimately again from an Aron that's nine Tfachim. Fine. Then that Aron was housed in a larger home called the Beis HaMikdash. But ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashamayim Kisi. The heavens. Ribbono Shel Olam retreats into the heavens. And ultimately, the heaven is my seat. The earth is where I rest my feet. What home can you build for me? A reference to the idea that originally we were in such close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then as a result of our Avedos, Ribbono Shel Olam retreats to the heavens. My mashma, suppose now the Gemara goes weiter. My mashma, the high lo saguru, lishton de kinusha. Suppose remember again, yesterday's daf we learned that if a Talmud is sitting in front of his Rebbe and he hears that his Rebbe has made a mistake in a particular halachic ruling, that the Talmud should not hold back from telling his Rebbe that he's incorrect. And the Gemara quoted the pasuk of Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish. Literally, again, do not be afraid of any man. So the Gemara understood Lo Saguru, Lo Saguru as Lashon of do not withhold. Do not withhold yourself in front of any person. So the Gemara says, "My mashma the high saguru lishna the kinushu." How do you know that saguru means alash of holding back? Amr Rav Nachman said, "Amr Kra v'yayin lo sishta v'lo segar," because the pasuk says, "You shall not drink wine and gather in." Rav Achar Yaakov Amar mehacha tochin b'kais lachma. Agra b'katzer ma'achalo. Literally, again, she prepares in the summer her bread. Agra b'katzer, she gathers in the harvest season her food. Rav Achibri Drav Ika Amar Mehacha Oger Bakayetz Ben Maskil. Literally, a wise son gathers in the summer. So we'll say, you see again constantly, the Lashon of Ogar, the Lashon of Oger is the Lashon of gathering in. Therefore, Lo Segur Mibnei Ish means, do not gather yourself, and do not withhold yourself in front of any man. If you know the halacha as that, if you know the appropriate halacha, and you see that a mistake is being made, you are encouraged, not only encouraged, but obligated to speak up, even a Talmud in front of his Rabbi. Amar Rabbi Shua Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Kaldayin Shadon Din Emes. Shadon Din Emes, Lamito. Masha Shechina B'Yisrael. But say any judge who judges appropriately, who judges correctly, causes the Shechina to rest within Kalal Yisrael. Shana Amar Elohim Nitzav, or I should say Elohim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel. Literally, the judge resides in the assembly of God. Bekerav Elohim Yishpot. But I will say, any judge who unfortunately does not judge correctly, gorim l'shchina shetistalik nisro, causes the shchina to leave klal nisro. Shene emar mishod aniim. Quotes over here from the pasuk from Tehillim. Mishod aniim. I'm sorry, I just lost the place. Mishod aniim. So I will say, mishod literally means the oppression of the poor. Ome enkas evyonim ata akum yomar Hashem. Any judge of Osei who misappropriates property, taking it from one and giving it to another, not in accordance with the law, HaKadosh Baruch Hu notal mimeno nafsho. The Ribbono Shel Olam will take the life of the judge. So you have to understand something. When a judge perverts justice, so ultimately what that requires of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to work harder, so to speak. Meaning that if I'm the judge and I misappropriate property, giving it to one who doesn't deserve it, then I cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to somehow rework or retool the universe in order to get the property back to the person who it really belongs to. Ribbono Shel Olam is resentful of such an individual like that, who literally shares the divine plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his life. Shnei Amar, Al Tigzol Dal, Kidalu, Va'atidake Ani Bishar, Ki Hashem Yariv Rivam. Literally, don't go ahead and oppress those. Don't oppress the poor. Don't oppress the impoverished. Ki Hashem yariv rivam, because Hashem will fight their fight. V'kaves koveyem nefesh. V'arav Shmuel Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, li'olam yira dayin, kilu cherev munachas lo ben yirei kosav. V'gehenem pesucha lo mitachten. We'll say a very profound statement. A dayin should always see literally as if there is a sword hanging between his legs, and Gehenom is open from under him. In other words, it's actually the Marasha's gear, so over here is that the sword is against his neck. Either way, it's not good. The idea being that there's a lot that hangs in the balance, that a judge should always realize that literally he hovers between life and death. there's a sword against his neck, Gehenna is open under him, and if he does not judge correctly, the stakes are exceptionally high. Shneemar, Bosei Amud Beis, Shneemar, Hinei Mitaso Shal Shlomo, Shishim Giborim Saviv Lami Gibori Yisrael. Behold the bed of Shlomo, there are 60 strong men surrounding it. Bosei, the Gemara understands over here that the 60 strong men were not warriors, but rather, again, were Dayonim. Were Tamidei Chachamim, Kulam Achuzei Charev, Milumadei Milchama. Ish charbo al yirecho mipachad balelos. So we'll say the Gemara understands in a little bit of a different way. So they're all well versed in the art of war, meaning in this case the art of halacha. Ish charbo al yirecho. Literally, again, each one had the sword standing by their legs mipachad balelos, and a fear of the night. What's the fear of the night? Mipachad shel gehenom shedomer lelaila. Each of them lived with the fear of Gehenna, the fear that ultimately if they would not make the right judicial decisions, then Gehenna would be waiting for them. Darash Rabbi Yosef Yitim Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Mai Dichsiv, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? Beis David Karmar Hashem. You remember he quotes the Pasuk from Yirmiyah. Beis David, house of David, Karmar Hashem, Dino Laboker Mishpat, Vatsilu Gozal Miad Oshek. So literally again, judge in the morning, Mishpat, and save that which is stolen from the person, from the hands of the thief. Why does it say adjudicate? Why does it say judge in the morning? Do we only judge in the morning and not in the afternoon? Rather, what the Gemara is saying is the Pasuk saying to the judge, if the verdict is as clear to you as the morning, then say it. But if not, don't say it. Which is another way of saying, judge, only render a verdict if what? If it's as clear to you as the morning. But if it's not as clear to you as the morning, then don't say. What does it mean? What does it mean? If that mean, then work harder. In other words, don't issue a verdict unless you are 1,000% sure of what it is that you're saying. If you're not 1,000% sure, then you have to be mevarer the din a bit more. Then you have to investigate. You have to adjudicate. Which will say, by the way, you understand, it's not just the din. It's not just the din in judges. It's a din in life. That before a person says something, it's so important to measure and so important to make sure that what I'm saying is correct, what I'm saying is appropriate, what I'm saying is meaningful, what I'm saying is necessary. And if you're not sure, then what? Don't say it. Don't say it. People say, how often do we get ourselves into trouble because we say things, you know, Rav Pam, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, Rav Shiva Tarvadas said, you know what the worst word in the English language is? Worst word, don't get nervous, I'm not going to say anything inappropriate. Right? The worst word in the English language, Rav Pam said, was, whatchamacallit. Whatchamacallit. Why? He says, because if you're saying whatchamacallit, it means that you haven't fully thought out what you are about to say. And how could a Jew open his mouth without knowing what you're going to say? Take a few more moments, think it through, and if you can't figure out the right words, then better off not saying it at all. Not just the din in Dayanim, but a din in every person. They learn it from here. In other words, that a judge should only issue a verdict if he's absolutely sure. Emar lechachma achosiat. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. In bar lecha, we'll say first wide line, zayin amud beis. In bar lecha, davar keachos, chashi yasru lecha omreu. If the verdict is as clear to you as the halacha that your sister is usher to you, then say it. Ve'im lav, but if the verdict is not as clear to you as the halacha that your sister is usher to you, then al tomru, then don't say it. Amud Rav Shimon Levi, Rav Shimon Levi said, Asar Shiyosha Medin, was if 10 people sit in judgment together, or if you have a basin of 10, and they're all sitting in judgment together, Kolar Taloi Bitsavar Kulan. Well, say literally there's a chain, really like a rope, around the neck of all of them. In other words, that they all bear collective responsibility if there is an erroneous ruling that is delivered. Pshita. I mean, that's obvious, as the Gemara. I mean, as if they're all part of the Gemara Din, then of course they all have shared responsibility. Rabbi say, why is it necessary? It's necessary dafka for a Talmud who is sitting before his Rebbe. I might have thought that a Talmud who is sitting before his Rebbe, if the Rebbe makes a mistake, that it's only the Rebbe who's responsible, not the Talmud, to which the answer is no. The Talmud is also responsible. Why? Because if the Talmud is sitting as part of the basin, the Talmud has an obligation to know the halakha as well. And if he goes ahead and makes a mistake in the ruling, even though his Rebbe is there, as we learned before, if a Talmud sees his Rebbe making a mistake in ruling, what's the halakha? He needs to speak up. And if he doesn't speak up, he bears responsibility. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rav Huna ki hava asi ledina lekamei. Listen to this. when Rav Huna would adjudicate a case, So we'll say, whenever Rav Huna would have to adjudicate a case, he would always assemble a Beis Din of 10 Rabbanim. Why? Because at least, he said at least this way, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, it's the third wine line from the top. So we'll see. What he's saying is that this way, I'll only get literally a chip of wood from the beam, which was another way of saying that if it turns out that we've made a mistake in the ruling, at least the culpability is divided amongst us all. So this way, again, the larger the rabbinic body that's making the decision, the more people there are to bear the responsibility of the mistaken ruling. Ravashi, Ravashi, when we'll say somebody would bring a shayla about a trefa, right? The trefa is an animal with a blemish. So when somebody bring a kasha shayla about a trefa before him, so what happens? So the Gemara says, he would gather all of the butchers of Masa Machasya together. So he said, this way again, at least if we make a mistake with the ruling, all of us will bear the responsibility. The more people to bear the responsibility, the more it lessens the personal responsibility on each individual. Ki asir avdini amar darshan Nachman bar Kohen may dechsev melech b'mishpat ya'amid aretz v'ish teruma os yahar sena. We'll say, what does it mean when the pasuk says a melech b'mishpat, a king in justice will uphold the earth, but ish trumos will destroy it. Im dayan domel melech shenotzarach leklum ya'amid aretz. If the Dayan is like a king who needs nothing, which Shavuot say means, if the Dayan is well-versed, he knows all of the halachas, just like a king needs no money because he's an Ashir, if the Dayan is well-versed in halachas, he's a Talmid Chacham, he has all the necessary tools, then again, he will uphold this world through his judgment. However, if the Dayan, im doma l'kohen, shemachzir bebeis hagranos, but if the Dayan is like a Kohen, I will say, a Kohen, remember, is not rich. A Kohen has to go around to the threshing floors to collect the trumas. Then ultimately, again, if the Dayan is not self-sufficient, but the Dayan needs to rely on others, yaharsena, then he's not an appropriate Dayan, and through judging the world, he will destroy it. Debeinesia, also will say, the idea being that a Dayan has to be self-sufficient. He has to have the requisite tools. He has to be a Talmud Chacham who's capable of adjudicating the case. The Beinasiya, Okmu Dayana, the Lahava Gamer. We'll say, so one time, the Nasi appointed a Dayan who was not well versed, wasn't the Talmud Chacham. And what happens? Amrali the Yehuda Bar Nachmani, Mitur Gamana Dresh Lakish, Kum Alei Ba'amura. So they said to Yehuda Bar Nachmani, who was the Maturgamon, the spokesman for Resh Lakish, go and be the Maturgamon, be the spokesman for this new Dayan. So what happened? So Kam Gochin Alei, Velo Amrle Velo Midi. So I say, so what happens? Yehuda Bar Nachmani bent over to go ahead and hear what the Dayan had to say. And the Dayan had nothing to say. The Dayan wasn't the Talmud Chacham. So he had no pearls of wisdom to share. So Amar Pasach Amar Yehuda Bar Nachmani said the following. Hai Omer La'itza Kitza Uri La'evan Domim. So we'll say, he who says to the tree, wake up, says to the stone that is silent, Hu Yora, to give judgment, even if he's coated with gold and silver, there is no life within him. Which I will say is another way of saying, Yehuda Bar Nachmani was saying it in a veiled fashion, this guy is not a proper Dayan. You can, it may look like a Dayan, it might smell like a Dayan, it might talk like a Dayan, right? But if it doesn't have, meaning it can be coated with gold and silver, but if it doesn't have the real Ruach, and if it does not have Talmud Chacham, then it's not a Dayan. So ultimately, again, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Viparami Ma'amidin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact justice from those who put up judges who are not really fit to judge. Shene'emar, Ma'ashem Behechal Kadsho, Has Mipanav Kalaretz. Amr Ishlakish. Whoever goes ahead of Osei and establishes a Dayan upon the Tzibur, who is not really fit to be a Dayan, so ki'ilu notea Asherah b'Yisrael. It's as if he goes ahead and he plants an Asherah. Also remember, Asherah is an Avodah Zarah tree. In Klali Soshinemar, shovtim v'shotrim titein lecha, because the Pasuk says, you shall go ahead and establish judges and enforcers for you, v'samechlei lo sita lecha Asherah kolitz. And the Pasuk says right afterwards, do not plant an Asherah for yourself. So Gemara Darshan from here, you see from here, that one who goes ahead and appoints an unworthy judge, it's as if he's planted an Asherah tree. Makum Ravashi, or Bemakum Sheish Tamidi Chachamim, Kilunoto Eitzel Mizbeach. And I will say, even worse, if one appoints an unqualified judge in a place where there are qualified Tamidi Chachamim, it's as if you plant an Asherah tree, and as if you planted it mamish next to the Mizbeach. Shenemar, Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Alokecha. Ksiv, Lo Sasun Iti Elokei Zav Elokei Kesef, Elohei, excuse me, Ksiv, Lo Sasun Iti Elohei Kesef, Elohei Zahav. So the pasuk says, God says, bless you, you shall not make for me gods of gold and gods of silver, gods of gold. Elohei kasef, Elohei zahav, hudlavidi, had the eight shari. So what do we infer from that? That you can't make gods of gold and silver, but you can make them out of wood. To which the answer is, of course not. Amar Ravashi, Eloha haba bishvil kasef, veloha haba bishvil zahav. The Gemara is talking about over here about judges, an Eloha, a judge who, we'll say, attains his position through gold, or a judge through silver, or a judge who attains his position through gold. In other words, Torah is giving us a specific prohibition against judges who buy their way onto the judicial bench. Rav, Kiava Asala Beidina Hacha Amar Hachi. We'll say, listen to this. Rav, when he would come to Beis Din, he would say the following. He would say, Biraos Nafshei Likatla Nafik. This man, he'd be talking about himself. This man comes to go literally, Biraos Nafshei Likatla Avid. Literally through the through the compromised nature of my own circumstances, I come to be killed. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Likatla Lisa Alav Chait Va'alatzma Haya Omer. Rav was saying, literally, I'm putting myself in a position where I might be killed. Or as well say, so Rav was going to Beis Din. He was going to be a Dayan. And he was literally saying, I put myself in harm's way. Because, in other words, we just said before, any Dayan who perverts justice ultimately, again, puts himself in harm's way. Bitsavi Beisa Les Hu Avid. Look at Rashi. Bitsavi Beisa Les Hu Avid. Tzarchi Beisa Ina Osakan. And I don't even take care of my own family. We'll discuss this, but a judge does not draw a salary for becoming a judge. We'll discuss again, a judge is paid by the community for certain things, namely, like we say, like Paul Bottle. He could have gone ahead and gotten another job. So because of that, he's paid for lost earnings that he could have had in a different profession. But he's saying, here, I put myself in harm's way. I'm not generating income for my own family. Vereikar lebeisa ayil. And ultimately, again, I go home with nothing because I don't even receive a salary. Ulevai shetei bia ki yitzia. And halavai, ultimately, again, shetei bia ki yitzia. Rashi says, sheechzor lebeisi ki yitzia, sheatzasi mebeisi belochet, shelo etavanesh. And halavai, I should be able to leave this basin as I came. I came without sin. I should emiratz Hashem be izocha to go home without sin. Ki avachazi, I'm Bohua Disafri Abasre. So listen to this. When Rab, this is all talking about Rab. When Rab would go, Abua Disafri Abasre means, Rashi says, Sias Anoshim. When Rab would see a large group of people following him. In other words, this is a derech of covet, that he would see a large group of people following him. Amar, Im Ya'ale Leshamayim Shio, Ki Galalo Lenetzach Yoved. Literally again, even if his stature ascends to the heavens, Kegalo lenetzach oved. Literally, both say. I mean, if you look at Rashi, Miala Shemayim, Kedesh lo tazuach daitu alav hayo omer kegalo galo rei. Even if his stature ascends to the heavens, he will be lost like excrement, which both say is the same way that excrement ultimately decays. Covet decays as well. Whereas Rav was saying this in order to keep himself humble. Even though, again, there were these great throngs of people that were following him, he said, covet ultimately doesn't last. Marzucha Chasida, Keva Mekasve Alei B'Shabsa Derigla. Marzucha Chasida, when they would put him on his shoulders, on the Shabbos of the Regel, was the Shabbos of the Regel was the Shabbos ultimately again, within the 30 days before the Regel. Remember again, the halacha is that they will learn the halachas of a particular yontiv for 30 days before that yontiv. Specifically on the Shabbos before the yontiv, everybody got together. So there were throngs of people who came to learn from Marzutra. And I will say what they would do is Marzucha was already older. So what happens is when Marzucha walked into the Beis Medrash, everybody would stand up. In order to minimize the amount of time that people would remain standing, they would put Marzucha, some of them would put Marzucha on their shoulders, and they would whisk him to the front of the Beis Medrash. This was an incredible display of kavod. So he would say, Kilo lo olam chosen the nezer dar vadar. So ultimately, again, literally, riches, wealth, does not last forever, and the crown goes from generation to generation. So we'll say the idea over here is these Rabbanim would say things in moments where they were getting incredible amounts of kavod. There are things that they would say to remind themselves that this kavod is ultimately fleeting. Darash bar kafra, minah hamlisa da amra o Rabbanan. From where do we know this thing that the Rabbanan used to say? Havim esunah bedin. We'll say, be deliberate in judgment. Be deliberate in judgment that when you go ahead and you judge, I will say, so don't issue a verdict quickly, but rather, again, be very deliberate and slow in issuing the verdict. Where do we know that from? Dichsiv lo sala b'ma'alos. Because I will say, the pasuk says that by the Mizbeach, there were no steps, rather there was only a ramp. So it says, do not go up on steps by the Mizbeach. V'samech lei ve'eila ha'mishpatim. And juxtapose that, Rabbi Yossi, is what? These are the laws. So Rabbi Yossi, what does this mean? So apparently, again, Chazal felt, drasha is like this. A person could take a number of steps at a time, but by a ramp, by definition, you could only go one step at a time. So the Torah says, Lo salu ma'alos al mizbechi, do not put steps by my mizbech. And right after that, it says that what? Shoftim v'shotrim. So what it means is the same way that there's a ramp by the mizbech, you can only take one step at a time. So too, when adjudicating a case, having mesunim adin, be deliberate, take it one step at a time as well. Amar v'lozer, arli ezer, minayin l'dayin shalo yipas al rashi am kodesh. How do we know that a judge literally should not trample on the heads of the holy nation? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Arashem Kodesh, Kishahaya Maturgim and Dorish, Hayat Sibar Yoshin Aretz, Vamafsia Benem Lelech Velashim Bim Komo Nira Kimafsia Aroshan. So we'll say again, when there was a shear going on, so people used to sit on the floor. Right? The Talmidim would sit on the floor. So how do I know that if you walk through the crowd when everybody's sitting on the floor, what does it look like? It looks like you're walking on top of them. That's a display of gaiva. How do I know that I shouldn't make it look like I'm walking on top of the heads of other people? So the pasuk says, "Shne'emar lo sale b'malos v'samech lei ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim asher talam ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim." So I will say, because the pasuk says, "Lo sale b'malos." Literally, again, you shall not go up on steps. And it says after that, these are the laws that you shall place before them. The idea being that the dayon should never make it look like he's walking on the heads of other people. What Shabbos says is an incredible yisod. How careful I have to be. Every person has to be that lemaisa. I never rise to greatness by stepping on someone else. That if my greatness, if my accomplishment comes through their actual or perceived stepping on someone else, that's not the greatness that will endure. The Gemara now here darshes asher talam demi boy. Then I want to say, why does the pasuk say ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim? These are the mishpatim that you shall place before them. It should say what? These are the mishpatim asher talam demi that you shall teach them. Elu kleha dayonin. Say what it refers to is elam mishpatim asher tasim means that when a judge adjudicates a case, there are certain tools of the trade that should be placed before him. And we'll say, what are the tools of the trade of a dying? Get ready for this. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna, Kavin Nafek Ledina. When Rav Huna would go ahead and get ready to judge, he would say, Amar Hachi. He would say to his attendant, the following, Afikulei Mani Chanusoi, bring out the tools of my trade. What are the tools of my trade? Get ready for this. Makel, a staff. Ritsua, a whip. Shufra, a shofar, visandala, and a sandal. And we'll say, now, why do I need all of these things? Look at Rashi just a moment. Ritzua means lamalkus. And we'll say, the strap was there to administer biblical lashes. Makel, the staff, is lamalkus mardus. It's for rabbinic lashes. Shofar, the horn is there, l'shamta v'nidui. If they excommunicated someone, they would blow a shofar. And sandal is for, what says Rashi? Chalitza. So let's say if you were a dayan, you put out the tools of the trade, the staff, the whip, the shofar, and the sandal, now you're ready for business. And I commanded your judges at that time, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Keneged Makel Uritzua Tehizoriz. Ultimately, again, what it means is that Lamaisa, a person should go ahead and make sure the dayan should make sure to have all of the tools of the trade ready for adjudication. Shamoa ben achechem ushefatetem. So I'll say the pasuk says literally shamoa ben achechem. Now we're gonna darshan this pasuk in just a moment. Literally, hear between your brothers and you shall judge. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ashar lebeizdin shelo yishma divrei baldin kodim shiyovo baldin chaveiro. We'll say, so shamoa ben achechem, the Gemara Darshans means that the beizdin should only hear the case when ben achechem, when both of the litigants are present. But the beizdin should not hear one side of the story if the other litigant is not present. I will say, now why is that? So ultimately, again, Rashi points out, because I will say, the assumption is people are hesitant to lie in front of the other party. But if a party has the ability to present their side before beizdin, before the other litigant is present, there's a strong possibility that what? That they'll feel empowered not only to present their side of the story, but to make stuff up. Therefore, Shamoa ben Achichem says, Beis Din, do not go ahead and hear the different litigant sides until Achichem, they're both there. Vazhar lebaldin, shlo yatim dvar ledayin. We'll say, not only does a Beis Din have a prohibition not to begin to accept testimony until both sides are present, but the litigants are prohibited as well from advancing their particular positions before both are present. Where do we know that? Kodem shevo baldin chavero, kori beinami shamea ben achechem. See, Rabbi say, shamoa ben achechem means that I, the dayon, cannot listen to one of the sides until both of the sides are present. But that same word, shamoa, can also be vocalized as how? Shamea ben achechem. I will say, what does Shamea ben Achechem mean? Do not allow your side of the story to be heard until both sides are present. So there's a prohibition on the Dayon, and there's a prohibition ultimately again upon the litigants themselves. Rav Kana said from a different place, same halacha, but different pasuk, Milosisa. So we'll say, so the pasuk over here says, Losisa Shema Shav, Vatashes Yatchem Rasha. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi's Losisa, it's the first white line at the bottom of Rashi. Losisa, Losikabel Shema Shav, Asher Ledayin. So we'll say, interesting enough, the Gemara is actually, Losisa Shema Shav means, do not go ahead and cause a voice to be heard in vain. What does it mean to be caused a voice to be heard in vain? Do not accept testimony from one of the sides until both sides are present. That can also be vocalized as lo sasi. Do not allow your side to be heard in vain. When is it in vain, Rabosai? When both sides are not present. An incredible yisod. Shama, Rabosai, you should just know, Shama bin Achichem also teaches me an incredible yisod in life. That's what? There are two sides to the story. And before you go ahead and ever forge any opinions about a particular matter, Shamoa ben Achechem, make sure you've heard all sides of the story before formulating your own personal judgments. Because if you only get one side and you only formulate the judgment based on that, it's going to be skewed. So let's just finish up. Pasuk says, Ushefatetem tzedek, you shall judge correctly or judge justly. Amrei Shlokish, tzedek es adin, va'acharkach chatcheyu. Rabbi say what it means is literally tzadik asadin. Make sure that what you are saying is correct, and only then render the verdict. In other words, that the dayan should make sure the dayan should process. Make sure that what you're saying is correct, and then and only then should you deliver the verdict. Bein ish ubein achav ubein ger. Rabbi, listen to this. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Afilu bein bayis la'aliyah. Rabbi say, what does this mean? That if you're adjudicating a case in Yerusha, and let's say the father dies, Yaakov dies, and leaves behind two sons, Reuven and Shimon. And the one piece of Yerusha that Yaakov left behind was what? Was a home. And the home has two stories. Don't just simply say, okay, fine. Reuven, you get the first story. Shimon, you get the second story. Rather, what do you have to do, Rabosai? You have to look at the value of the individual stories and make sure that the stories, right, the levels, right, are of equal value. If they're not of equal value, you have to make sure that both children are getting equal amount of Yerusha. In other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is don't do a half-baked job. If you're going to be a dayon, then see it. It was an incredible yisod in life in general. If you look at things superficially and just render judgment based on, you're going to make mistakes. If you're taking on the responsibility, then make sure you see it through that it's appropriate. So, I'm sorry. Bein Isha Bein Achiv, even if all you're adjudicating is a case of Yerusha between a man and his brother, and it looks simple, it's not simple. You have to delve down and make sure that what you're dividing up is financially appropriate as well. So, what does it mean to make your boss listen to this? Even if what? Even if I was to say you're adjudicating a case where, and you're dividing up a tanur and kirayim. So we'll say, remember again, tanur and kirayim are both different types of stoves. Even if all you're dividing up is a Yerusha, and you're dividing up, look at Rashi, bein tanur bein kirayim, ubein gero, Rashi says, I'm sorry, third line from the bottom, lashon magor. So we'll say this, bein gero, the Gemara is dashing, lashon magor. Magor means household utensils. Tashmishe dira. Al tomer yitol ze tanur vezekira. Share tanur odef al kira. Both say a tanur is a stove with two burners versus a kira, which is a stove with one burner. Vesarach lahosif damim. So we'll say, even if you're dividing up an estate and there's a tanur and kirayim, well, don't just say this one gets the tanur, this one gets the kirayim. Rather, understand that there's a financial difference. There's value between those two things. Therefore, as the dayan, my job is to make sure that each of the litigants or each of the children ultimately, again, are getting the same value in what it is that they're receiving. The idea that the Torah is telling us is, dayan, if you're going to undertake this responsibility, do not engage in a superficial dayanos, but rather make sure that when you adjudicate and when you pass judgment, you are being dan din la'amito. Justice is being served, equity is being served, and at the end of the day, you are doing your role as a shutef in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maaseh B'Reishis. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up at Miras Hashem with right over here tomorrow morning. I will say Rosh Chodesh tomorrow morning, which means Daf Yomi begins at 5:45. Shacharis is at 6:30. Regular schedule resumes on Tuesday, Meretz Hashem. Incredible, huh?